Psalm 103. This is the Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Is that not ever the truth? Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Everybody over 50 said amen. Amen. Maybe over 50. I'm over 50. Amen. Renews my youth like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Amen. He has made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercies. Praise the Lord. That's quite a list of promises. I think if we would do well if we would set some of those in our heart and realize that he's got us. He's got us. So this morning I'm going to take a moment and pray for Leola Hopi's sister and your daughter, right, Ruth? So she's 2 weeks pregnant and sometimes has complications. So we're going to pray for her. Father, we pray right now for Leola, Lord. We pray that your hand would be upon her. Lord, as her first child was a miracle, Lord, we pray that this baby would be a miracle. Lord, that as you say in your word, you heal all her diseases, Lord. So she's not bound, Lord, by what the past has said and what the reports previously has said, Lord. Your children, Lord, her family are standing in the gap for her right now. And Lord, we're asking for a miraculous touch from heaven. We know that you do all things well. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to remind everyone that we have communion over here, and I haven't talked about it before the service for a long time, but my heart's been getting stirred again. Not that it's not stirred for me individually, but for all of us, because we have an opportunity to participate every single week here. It's what we chose to do, is have communion available for you. And it's, remember, that it's the life that's in the blood. It's oneness with the Father that we get to celebrate. But not only celebrate, we get to participate in. I believe that when we take communion with the right heart, we leave with more of God activated in us. Just like when we worship him in a new way in spirit and in truth, we activate another level of God in us. So with that said, today, let's stand and let's worship the Lord. It's a powerful testimony I have of this song. It was probably in the summer of, I think it was 2000. And 11, but I'm not sure. Tried to go and find it, but we were having a worship time. It was very powerful, and Lynette had a great, you know, list going, and I think Nick was on the piano, and it was a great worship time, but all of a sudden, this sound dropped in my heart. And this is before I'd ever, you know, sang, you know, really the song of the Lord or anything. And it didn't go with the music at all. But I just started saying, whoa, 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 whoa. That's what I was doing. Now, fast forward 3 years. I'm here. I listened to one album by Nick and Rachel Billman are the ones who did that. An amazing couple. They're out of actually the South America right now, and they minister to the poor on the streets of, I think it's, I'm not sure which place. It's like Argentina or something like that. Anyway, they minister to the poor. So I'm listening to the start of this song. And I'm just sitting there one morning listening, and I just start crying because I realize 3 years before, the Lord had put that sound in my heart. Now, that's before I knew about, you know, really the love of the Father, face to face. And so I listened to this, and I just started weeping and weeping and weeping. And so I was listening to it this morning, and I really thought it was appropriate for where we're at, because it's, you know, it's not about the production. Guys, it's not about how smooth things run. It's not about how great the word is. It's about how your intimacy is going with the Father, how your intimacy is going with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That is the key. And all the rest is fluff. I'm sorry, all the rest is fluff. The bottom line is what is happening in the core of your being. And that cry from the heart of the Father is going out to his children everywhere, just as it came to me 3 years prior. And I didn't even know what he was doing, but that started me on a journey of hunger and a depth for the desire of a true reality walk with Christ, a true reality of being a son, being a child of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So at this time, I'm going to ask Belle to come up, and she's got a sign-up sheet. How long has it been since we have one of those? A little while. Thanks, Bill.
Do you have to pray for the kids, and I'm actually taking them down?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Morning, everybody. I have a sign-up sheet for our Impact students. This is a good way to get involved if you haven't had a chance to yet. Please sign up. There's about 10 or 12 kids that come to Youth Night every single Wednesday. So if you can put your name and your number, there's a spot to put send a reminder, and David or Tanya will send a text out. And Allison, down. Okay, get down. If you can put what you plan to bring, that would be helpful too. Sometimes the kids like to know. So I'm going to start it here, and then we'll pass it around. Thank you. And then we're going to pray for the kids that are here, because we're going to take them on down. So, Allie, you're part of the kids, so come over here. Allie, Addie, and Evan, and Adam, any other small children here? Lexi's here. Okay. So let's extend our hand and pray for these children. So, God, we just thank you for all of these children who are here. We just thank you for bringing them today to hear the word, God, and to be able to send them out, Lord, to do your work every single day in their school, in their homes, wherever they may be, God, that they would remember today, that they would remember the words that are spoken over them. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I said I would have the sheets of five ways to study your Bible, and I did it.
Yay!
Hey! So I'm going to set these right here, and you guys can grab them. There's about 15 copies. If we need more, let me know. I thought that would be enough, but who knows, right?
Exactly.
Yes. What? Last song, it's called Sweep Me Away. It's sick, isn't it? I just love it. Sorry, sick in a good way. Okay, right? What was that?
Your son.
Oh, yeah. He's mocking me in a loving way, right? He wouldn't go loving, right? Jesse, would you do me a favor and start the PowerPoint? Thank you. Doesn't Jesse do a great job on multimedia? What? Oh, Alec did a great job on multimedia, yes. And I'm saying you're doing it right now, though. Yes. Releasing your heart. Yeah. Yes. You do. He's like being really ornery now. Maybe he doesn't do. Let's reverse the clap. There you go. Good job. Thank you, Jesse. Let me make sure that I can move it. Yeah, I can. Okay. So today will be our fifth
style of studying the Bible. And I do have another thing next week that I'm going to bring up on some, actually it has to do with a Hebraic way of studying the Bible, ways that rabbis follow. But today we're going to go over another method that Carmen Miller in her article says that it's not about how much you're in your word, rather how much your word is in you. In other words, you can read the Bible a whole lot, but if you don't get it in your heart, if you don't get it in your being, if you're not walking it out, then they're just words. How many know that the Bible can be just words? It has to be rhema. It has to be alive. All right, so inductive Bible study is a means of studying and exegeting a Bible passage. Richard Kreutzer, I don't know how to pronounce that, describes in terms of interviewing a passage without preconceptions or agendas. That's a key. Inductive Bible study involves examining the ideas and words of the text, which leads to the meanings and then the interpretations, which in turn lead the reader to conclusions and applications. I think I do inductive a lot. It's like just right up my alley. It makes sense to me to see what's the root of the words, how is it being used in the context, and then finding other passages that are using those same words, and then I build together conclusions and applications.
Well, I think without preconceptions or agendas, that's the part that's the kicker. Because if we are...
Well, that's nice. It's a good ringtone, though.
Lovely.
I mean, I try to do that, too. Just a nice, sweet sound. That way, if it goes off, it's just like angels are singing.
But the where is it at? Without preconceptions and agendas.
That's tough for pastors and people who've read a long time.
I mean, you know, I went to Bible school. And so they really pounded things into you. And then years later, when the Lord wanted to pound it into me, I'm like, oh, but wait, this is the way it was supposed to be. And he's like, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be at all. So we have to be very careful that the preconceptions that we have of a passage of Scripture or the agenda that we have of that Scripture is always open for change from the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yep, that's good. Isn't that good? That's good. So, inductive Bible study. This is in the actual page that I got you. Pray. What a concept. Start with prayer. God, guide me as I study your word. Observation. What does the text say? Ask questions such as, who is speaking? What's happening? Where does the passage take place? When do the events take place? How did people respond? Identify repeated words. I would say, what is the origin of the word as well? What was the meaning in maybe another passage of another translation? I would add that in there. Interpretation. What does the passage mean? What is the significance of my observations? And what is the main point of the message? And then application. What does the passage mean to me? What are the implications of the passage for my life? Is there a central truth that I need to put into practice? And the key is, when you find something in the Word, whether you're using the inductive or the PR3 method or the SOAP method, all the methods that I've gone over, and again, they're on that sheet there, it's really, are you getting the Word in you? Is it becoming a part of you? One of the descriptions of Jesus in John chapter 1 is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so unless the Word becomes flesh, unless it takes on form, unless it's we can live it out through our lives, then again, it's just printed ink. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's organized letters on a page. Until we make it a reality in our lives, then the Word is useless for us. So we've got to make sure that we're not just reading the Word to say we've read our Word, but we're reading our Word so that the Word is in us. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So, I know I don't review, but it's been a while since we've started a series. I didn't know it was going to be a series, but we talked about preparing your heart and how the noble kings had prepared their hearts for the Lord. And evil people did not prepare their hearts. We talked about guarding your heart. And guarding your heart is protecting your heart from the influences and things that can come in from the outside that then cause our heart to be in a wrong way and wrong position. Then last week we talked about the integrity of your heart, or can you trust your own heart? And how many know we can't trust our own heart? Okay. So today we're going to talk about releasing your heart. Now this sounds kind of odd, but as we go on, you'll see what I mean. Because there's a storage device that we have in our mind and our heart. And how are we going to let that out? And what is it that we're going to let out? So let's go ahead and take a look at a verse. So in Matthew 12, 33 through 35, a tree is known by its fruit. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Is that not true, Ken? Is a tree known by its fruit? I know for me, if I go up to a tree and there's no fruit on it, I can't tell you what kind of tree it is. Anybody else? Ken could probably tell you. As long as you maybe have some leaves on it. Yeah. But if there's no leaves, it's going to be pretty hard-pressed, right? Unless you know the bark and all that stuff, and you're a great botanist. But if you don't know what kind of fruit's on the tree, you don't know the tree.
Right.
So, brood of vipers. I'm not calling you guys that, so don't think I'm calling you brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of the fullness, what you have in there, your mouth's going to let it go. And what would we call that coming out? I would call that fruit. I would call that fruit. The heart is the tree. The heart is where the actual source of where the fruit comes from. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Let's look at another verse here. Luke 6, 43 through 45. This is another verse that is kind of similar, but it's bringing out some more ideas. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. In other words, if you have a good, healthy tree, are you going to have bad fruit? No, you're going to have good fruit. If you have a bad, non-healthy tree, what kind of fruit are you going to get? Bad fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. That would be like a thorny bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're using that same type of expression, or Jesus using that same type of expression when he's giving this illustration. Let's look at the word abundance. Abundance. It's the word parasuma, and it means a surplus or a superabundance. So this is what it's really saying, that if you have your heart full in superabundance of evil things. In other words, you haven't guarded your heart. You haven't prepared your heart. You haven't let your heart be a place of wholesome and integrity. Then what's going to happen, folks, is that we're going to release that superabundance of the world. Mm-hmm. How many know that you don't have to, you know, purpose to fill yourself with evil? Well, I'm going to get my quota of evil today. Does anybody do that? And get my quota of junk today. You don't have to set quotas. It automatically happens. It's a natural process of life. The junk fills us. So what do you have to purpose your heart to do? Purpose in your mind to do. You have to purpose to fill yourself with the things of God. Right?
Right.
Okay. It says an abundance that was left over and above. So it's when this fullness comes. You know, you may sit here, okay, I'm going to purpose in my heart to follow God, and you've got it, you know, maybe not partially full, but it's not completely full of the world, and so you're doing pretty good, you know. You stub your toe and you're rushing it, you don't, you know, say the wrestling word, or, you know, or somebody cuts you off, oh, heaven forbid, that's like, Your hands stay on the wheel, right? And so there's a temperance that you're walking in because you're partially full of God. And, you know, you can have a little bit of both. I mean, it's, you know, we're obviously not going to be 100% pure. That's what we're striving for, perfection, right? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, our hearts being perfect. But then once you don't purpose in your heart to keep your heart in Christ, to keep your heart filled with the things of God, guess what happens? The world starts filling in. The next time you stub your toe, you know, you especially whoever's around might hear a choice word, you know, that isn't necessarily thank you, Lord. And the next time you get cut off, you might, you know, identify that person with a certain finger and point at him what they're doing or her. So what I'm saying is that what, depending upon what's inside of us, is what we're going to release. That's that super abundance.
Right. I have a story to tell about that.
Oh, okay.
It was when Tim was little, a baby, and toddler age.
I hope I'm not doing something bad here.
I had a procedure that had to be done, and I actually had to be, sedated for it. And so I was sedated for it, and the doctor came out to tell my husband. He says, Mike, it's going to be a little bit longer. We had to give her a little bit more extra medicine than normal. And he said, oh, and by the way, I can tell that she's a mom of a toddler. And Mike's like, really? How come? And he said, because she kept saying, owie, 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 Dr. Sloop, that really hurts. And I'm like, whew, thank goodness that's all that came out. Because you kind of wonder, you know, because when you're asleep, you don't know what you're going to be saying if they're asking you questions. And I'm like, whew, I'm glad that was all I said.
Praise the Lord.
But you know what, though? The whole thing about it is, really, we shouldn't be that way. We should know where we are and whose we are and how much of that we have in us. It should never be a wonder or a question. We should know that goodness is going to come out. And if we don't know that, we all know we have a journey to take. You know, it's just that simple.
It's not that we have a journey. We're on a journey.
Exactly.
And we're all on this journey. Now, some days we just don't choose to walk. Some days we choose to just lay on the ground and go in the fetal position, thumb in our mouth, and, you know, and drool in a corner, you know. And that's okay. You know, we all have bad days. And I'm not going to have anybody take a picture of me when I'm doing that. But, you know, I do get that kind of emotional feeling sometimes. But the next day, you know what? Mercy's new. Every morning, a brand new day. We can walk
in
a brand new heart, a brand new life.
Amen.
All right. Let's look at what the next thing is. Oh. Hello. Okay. Didn't I just do this? No, I didn't. This is Luke 6:43-45. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? This is talking about food, other things. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. This is a Jesus saying to his disciples, you know, because the Pharisees had pulled Jesus aside. Hey, Jesus, your disciples are eating food without washing their hands. And, you know, it's not accepted. You know, that's not ritual. That's not tradition. That's not law. You know, and Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples now after, you can read up later on if you want to, he did kind of put the Pharisees
so
in their place.
So where is that found? Because that says Luke 6:43-45, but it says 16-20 down there.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, that's like a puzzle. It's a mystery. Where it went? I don't know. I thought that was the same verse. Hang on. Matthew? It was copy and paste.
See, we're checking, making sure you guys are alert.
I meant to change that verse.
What is it, Jess?
Oh, let's give it up to the Bible scholar now. He's,
Matthew
no,
15.
He's actually got a...
Did you say it, Lisa? Lisa, did you say it? Too?
Bible Gateway?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, good catch, though. I mean, that's like 43. I'm reading 16-20. So we got to stay on our toes here, right? So you never know what I'm going to try to sneak by you. Okay. Okay, so look at this. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man or defile a man. So that word defile, ceremonially defiled, or by treating what is sacred as common or ordinary. Now, this is interesting because what it does is it takes the holiness that we have, the holiness that someone else has, and it treats it as common and not as from God. I mean, that got me when I saw that. That when you think about it, that the very fact that when we're letting things come out of our mouth, you know, it's like, oh, well, you're sinning. But more than that, we're taking a holy vessel that God has ordained and given us a new heart and a new life, and it's being treated as unholy, as common, as not even saved. So, like, ouch. Here's another one, i.e. not special. And how many know that everybody is special, you know, and not in a, you know, they're special, not in that kind of way. They're special in a way, sorry, they're special in a way that God has created them and that all should be treated with honor, respect. And, you know, how many know we have like these demarcation lines coming down where you could get on the side of an issue and you could really disrespect, treat people wrong, not value them, even though they have other opinions, and even those opinions affect your life. As believers, we should be able to show the love of God. We should be able to communicate, not grace to where we accept their debauchery, but grace where we let them know that we don't agree with them, but we still love them.
Right.
And that's going to be the tricky part. That's where we're going to have to guard our hearts with all diligence.
Well, when it says by treating what is sacred as common or ordinary, that's the part where it actually gets into, to me, actually, it's like just being complacent, or, you know what I mean? Because I don't want my walk with the Lord never to not be special. I don't want to get to a place of complacency, and I have, and I do. And as soon as the Lord can wake me up out of that, I want him to. That one song that we were singing about, Awake My Soul, we have to do it.
Awake my spirit to know you. Yeah.
God can do it for us, but we can just say, I'll catch you later. We have to remind our spirits, our souls, what we're in this for. And we have to do it to where we're going to listen to ourselves. It's like sometimes you have to say, snap out of it. Quit being so complacent. Quit being so apathetic. And don't treat this relationship that I have with my Lord, it's like no other relationship I have. It is special. It is holy. And it's not holy because of me. It's holy because of him.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He's the author of our holiness. Folks, really, we can't do anything. I mean, when we go to some of these other verses, it's going to sound like, you know, don't let bad stuff come out of your mouth. Don't let this happen. And you know, you can, you know, bite your lip for so long, but it's going to happen if we don't watch our heart. We don't watch what's in there. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So taming the tongue. Now this is a little bit long, so let me read through it all and then we'll talk. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they obey it, and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God, or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Very interesting. Again, at the very end, he's talking about that the tongue is going to release what the source has. Mm-hmm. The tongue is going to release what is in the well. The tongue is going to release what the tree bears. If the tree's got figs, guess what? The tongue's going to release figs, which may be a good thing. But what he's saying is you can't have bad water tasting coming from a good well. And you can't have different kinds of fruit on a different tree. So let's look at this really quickly here. Oh, hang on. Did I miss it? Oh, I think I deleted something. I did. Oh, wait. Oh, I got something out of order. Oh, yeah. We've been there before. Okay, here we go. Okay. So going back to this, I was going to bring up this right here, the perfect man, and this word perfect. This word perfect is complete or full. Maybe I didn't get the actual Greek word. But if you think about it, we were talking about the heart when it's full of integrity, when it's been guarded and protected, then it's full of the right things. Now, a perfect man, I would think before that just means you're complete. So I would think, you know, until I get this thing down, I'm not going to be able to totally bridle this tongue. But that's not true. If we can control by what we allow to come into ourselves and how we hold our heart before the Lord and let him govern it, we can keep junk from coming out. We don't have to be, you know, just releasing every thought. We don't have to be, you know, taking what is holy and speaking to it as it's common or it's not special. If we guard our heart, the issues of life are going to come out of it. And those would be good issues. We can be a perfect man before we're in heaven. Amen? Okay. So here's some other scriptures. Sorry. James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So this again, this sounds like you got to bridle your tongue. You got to put like a muzzle over you to keep from saying things. No, the tongue is going to release what's inside of the heart. Mm-hmm. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Here's another one. Set a guard over my mouth. Here's a prayer. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You know what? You don't have to worry about that if your heart is full of the right things. Right. And we'll finish with this. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Mm-hmm. It's right there. What comes out of us is from the well of our heart. Mm-hmm. And if the well of our heart is good, guess what? Good comes out. If it's bad, if it's naughty. Naughty. I always used to tell our kids, it's naughty. They're not bad, you know. Anybody else do that? Mm-hmm. Then what comes out of it will be life. Amen.
There's an acronym that we can actually use that will help us decide whether or not what's in there needs to come out. And the acronym is actually for think. And it says, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind?
Oh, I wish I would have put those up. That's good. Say it again.
So it's the acronym is think. So is it true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind?
That's good.
We used to tell our kids when they were really little, and as they grew into teenagers especially, if what you have to say is right, doesn't necessarily give you the right to say it.
Ooh.
And that is that's the bridle. Because even if what you're saying is correct, if what you say is going to injure a heart, don't say it. It's not worth it. Somebody else can do it if you can't do it, you know, in the right way. So we always have to be careful of what we're saying to people and wondering if what we're saying to them is truthful, is it helpful, is it, you know, all of those things. And that will help us to decide whether or not we're going to speak them out over them. Because there's power of life in your mouth and there's power of death in your mouth. And your words can speak death. And most of us know this from our childhood, when a parent said the wrong thing and we've remembered it all the way until we're 50 something. They can say the wrong thing. So we do have power of life in our mouth,
Amen.
But power of death as well. And we have to be very careful that we're using it to speak life over people. And Mike and I are real careful, like when we're, you know, meeting with somebody and we're speaking to someone and we're telling them, you know, this is very confidential. I won't say anything to anybody. And the way he looks at it is this. Am I a solution to the problem? If I'm not a solution, I don't want to know. So we have to be very careful even about the way that we're speaking to others about others. Because then you get into gossip. And that's sin. So we have to be very careful that we're not doing that. I remember a story about a bunch of college girls that were meeting around and they were eating snacks late at night, getting ready for, you know, to go to bed. And all of these girls were bashing on this one girl that wasn't there, except for one. And they finally kept saying, well, what, don't you agree with us? Don't you think that's right? And she said, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter whether I think you're right or wrong. You don't have a right to speak about another when they're not here. That's speaking behind their back. And if you're going to do that to them, will you do that to me? I have no comment. And that's the way we need to be. Mm. Pastor Ken, before us, Pastor Ken would say, if people are speaking about somebody, say, well, come on, let's go to that person together.
Hmm.
If you're not willing to go with them and them go with you to speak to that person, then you have to wonder if what they're saying is gossip. Because if they're not willing to go with you, you understand what I'm saying? So we have to be so careful. We have to be careful and make sure that our words are a lot, our tongue, I should say, is a lot like a rototiller getting a ground ready. How, it, you know, it, our mouths can get the ground ready for good seed or bad seed. And we have to be very careful and very watchful that what we're saying prior to the seed being planted is good things, because you want it to be rich soil.
Yeah.
Rich soil.
Amen. You didn't have like an amazing story that somebody's heart was exchanged with somebody else? And
well, I do have one about Socrates, actually.
I told you she had it.
Socrates had he had a chef guy, and he was in, he had invited a bunch of people over for dinner one night, and he wanted the best that the market had to give. So the chef guy goes to the market, buys it, and starts to prepare all of these courses. And back in Socrates' times, you had like 13 courses of food, like, you know, the beginning, and then the middle. I mean, you had a lot of courses. And every single course had the special ingredient was tongue. And Socrates is like, this is the best he had to offer. You know, he was just mortified that every course had tongue in it. So he went to his chef and he said, that was the best the market had to offer? And he said, yes, that was the best. He goes, okay, tomorrow we're going to do this again. I want you to get the worst thing that the market has to offer, and then you fix that up. And I'm going to invite these same people back. And so he did, and he made courses, and every single course he served had tongue. It was the worst that the market had to offer, too. So we have to be very careful and understand how powerful that little one member is.
That's a good story. Yes, absolutely.
So Faith is only 12, and so she doesn't know anything about relationships. She does not know what love, like with a boyfriend and girlfriend. And her brother and her sister-in-law, they're having a struggle in their marriage. And she's sitting down with Amanda, and she's like, Amanda, your relationship is like a flower. You need to cut off the bad weeds, but don't pull it up by the root and leave a nasty hole. You need to fix this. God can do this. I'm just sitting here going, this is my 12-year-old daughter who has no idea what love or relationships are, but she's speaking right from her tongue because it's in her heart.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart. Yep. Praise God. Anyone else have a testimony? Could anybody share like a testimony when your heart was really bad and you, no, I mean, we don't want to do that. We could all give a story of when, oh man, did I mess up? Yes. Yes, brother. Go ahead and come on up.
Here, honey, you do this. Take it down. I was, this was when I was living in Seattle, and I was trying to develop some friendships, and things weren't going too well, and I was having a bad attitude about it. And I was asking God to deal with me about it, and I would meet people, and then I'd quickly judge them, you know, whether they're friendly or they're not friendly or what type of person they were. And I went to this potluck, and I was trying to be friendly to people, to meet some new people. And I walked up to this guy, and I said, "Hello, how are you? My name's Daniel." Tried to be friendly. And he had no response. And I'm thinking, well, some party here, you know. And I was working on trying to have a good attitude and not let that affect the rest of the party. And, you know, I was trying to withhold judgment. And later on during the party, someone was talking about that person. And he said he's not doing well, and he had Lyme disease, and he was going to die. I don't know how long it would take, but he was really struggling. And so I really knew that God was speaking to me to, you know, just because someone behaves in a certain way doesn't mean that it has anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it really floored me, and I just, like, I learned a lesson on that.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Powerful. Yeah, you go busted, right? Yeah. Oh, okay. So you're going to talk about somebody else?
Yes, I am. She knows it. When Val first met Reggie, One Chapel does connect groups all over Austin and Buda, whatever, and Kyle and stuff. And she went to one of the mixers, the connections. She was part of the connection group, and there's this gentleman that was there, and she walks up to him, and she says, "Hello, how are you?" and tries to start a conversation with him. And we all know Valerie, for those of you who know her. You know, she's very out there, and she's very up and very friendly. And he turns around and he looks at her and he goes, "Well, really, it's not about how I am." You know, like trying to do a different conversation tactic. And he shut her down. And when you shut Valerie down, dude, you're in trouble. But it made him chase her, because he realized that he had screwed up somewhere in his head, and it made him chase her, and it was Reggie. And now they're married and have a child and are having another one. Woo-hoo. But the power of the tongue, he didn't even know that what he was going to say would tune her out or make her shut down. You know, so we have to be careful of that too. Sometimes when we think we're being intelligent, and I am bad about being sarcastic and cutting, and I learned as a child to do that because that was my protection. I couldn't physically protect myself, but I could use words to cut people. And they would be like, "Whoa, you know, don't want nothing to do with that." You know, so I learned that. And so the power, I'm still that way. I still get mad. Ask Bill. I still get freaking mad and just let my tongue go. And so I need prayer for that, y'all. And now I see it in Valerie. And when I see it in Valerie, I'm like, oh, poor child.
Wonder where she got it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and pray for... don't let me forget, Lord. Hang on a second. Well, first I'm going to pray for Glenn and Lotta and their family, because Harper was sick and Hank is sick. Yes. Oh, good friend. Okay. Raymond, okay. So Raymond, okay. And then we're also going to pray for strength for Rowdy. And yes?
I was just hoping that you could make it on the screen the scripture, not the last one, the one before that, and then the
mouth. Yes. No, that's okay. Which one was it?
There it goes. Okay. Good. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before your throne of grace, Lord. And we just ask that you would, Lord, hear our cries, Lord, for our loved ones, our family members, Lord, our friends. God, we pray for Glenn and Lotta right now and for Harper and anyone else who's sick in that household, Lord. Lord, your word says that you heal all of our diseases. So, Lord, we receive on behalf of them, Lord, healing for that household. We receive, Lord, strength, Lord, for them, Lord. And just send encouragement their way today, Lord, as they're not able to be with us. And bless that family. Lord, we pray for Raymond right now, Lord, in this heart issue, God. Lord, we ask that you would send, Lord, your word and heal him. Lord, that he would be able to have the testimony that the Lord gave him health, that he was restored, Lord. And we pray, God, that whoever is in his family, our believers or friends who are believers, Lord, that they can lay hands on him, Lord, and bring impartation of grace and mercy and your life. And Lord, we pray for Rowdy, God. We pray for strength. Lord, we pray that you continue to just let him be restored. God, we pray that the word that is in him and in his mouth and in his heart, Lord, would rise up, God, and it would be his life flow. Lord, it would be what he receives, Lord, life from. Yes. And we thank you, Lord, that you're working in all of our lives, Lord, and we do. We ask that you would sweep us away. Lord, that this week, each one of us would have an intimate, personal time with you, Lord, because you draw us away into your presence. And Lord, our hearts will be healed. There's wounds, if there's damages, if there's issues, God, that you would bring healing, Lord. Balm of Gilead, Lord, this, let your oil, Lord, pour upon our hearts, God, so that what comes out, what's released from our heart, God, brings life to others and life to our own life. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you? Oh, and Barb. Barb, you did you still have that word, or is it like... Okay, sorry. I've got to. I'll talk to Jesse about how we can pause a song so that we can. No, it's. But anyway, work out the details because it's still a little different when you don't have like somebody behind an instrument. You can say slow down and. But God bless you all. You have a great week and greet each other.